Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm a 10-year-old boy in Toronto. I should be the happiest kid in the world.
Another episode of the Cropod, and dear listeners, David, you'll never guess who's not here yet again.
Right, let me see how I'll work it out by process.
Let's see, I'm here.
Yep, and I'm
You're here.
So it's who's not? Our perky Canadian.
Oh yeah, Todd took another day off. Look at that.
He's just back from Italy, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So
I gotta talk to HR about his holiday time. I think he's accrued too much here.
He's definitely using it up now. I think we're into the unpaid element of it. But yeah, so you know, shorter today. Although I think what you're gonna do is you're gonna do two. And are you bridging them or are you putting them out separate?
No. You guys, look, you get two special short Cropods this week. So we're on the short bus special for the two episodes this week. So
it's not size that matters, it's where you stick it. I think that was long established Cropod principle there. But
yes.
Things are great over here, you know, yeah. Apart from the fact that we can't play football at Scottish football grounds because apparently weather happens. I like that for Dundee, that they've got an all-weather pitch. All weather fucks it up. Doesn't have to be snowy or stormy or rainy or what. Just weather has a detrimental effect on it.
I mean, isn't that the... I was trying to talk to you about it Sunday, but isn't that the fourth match they've abandoned this year?
Yes, it is.
Surely. I know there's a part in the rule book about, you know, having a pitch that's...
There is,
you know,
actually.
Reliable,
I didn't know that.
Playable condition. Yeah,
I didn't know that but basically it's not enforced. Yeah, it comes into a couple of things. One, Dundee are building a new stadium for some reason, which is fair enough in that Dens Park is a shithole. But until it's built, they're not spending any money on Dens Park. But that means that Dens Park, which was already a shithole, is getting worse and worse and worse. With the pitch, I mean, they paid off their ground or put them on gardening leave because everyone found that hilarious, remember, 6 weeks ago. So they know there's a problem with their pitch and you know, late call-offs. But if I was to guess, and it is just a guess, but I think they quite liked the idea that, because the only real heavy rain was Thursday night, and then there was normal rain, but nothing huge. And I think that they've just gone, right, let's make it like a bog because that'll be more difficult for your Rangers to play football on and give us a better chance. And then they've gone in on Sunday morning and went, oh, fuck.
I'd seen somewhere that, you know, unconfirmed rumors, but that they were actually running the sprinklers even on Sunday morning for a while.
Wouldn't surprise me. But the thing about it is we got that argument that gets put forward a lot in these circumstances. Like, oh, yeah, you know, people criticising the groundsmen, and they forget it's a difficult job. And it is. That's why you get paid money to do it. And if you're not up to it, you know, you know, and if your job is a ground, look, everyone accepts everyone does, that there will be freak weather and that can have an effect on a game. Rangers had a game cancelled at Ibrox because there was a massive snowstorm and the other team yeah. couldn't make it. They were, you know, told by the police, do not travel. I get that. That can happen. Sometimes it can be freak rainfall. There can be, you know, snow. All of these things can happen. But four times a year isn't freak. That's just no, it's a pattern.
Just for what seemed to be regular March rain. Weather in Scotland. Yeah. Like, it's not, yeah. It's just run-of-the-mill.
And then, of course, the chairman, Nelms, or CEO, he comes out after the decision is made and can't be changed and says, oh, if they just waited till 3 o'clock, we could have played it. That's not how this works, right? Fixtures are not announced for at some point on this date, right? Very, very rare. Like, can you imagine the Super Bowl? Super Bowl will be held this year, 2nd of April. Kickoff, you know, any time between midday and 9. Just be about though. It doesn't fucking work like that. TV schedules and, you know, policing and fans can't kick about. Just we'll just wait in the stadium quietly to the game. So absolute nonsense. But yeah, I see because it's, you know, Rangers that some people are complaining that the SPFL have said that they're going to, you know, investigate it. And so, well, they've had games called off this season and no one's bothered. Yeah, they weren't on Sky. Do the maths.
Yeah,
who do you think is angry here, guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Michael Stewart, though, it's actually our fault. I don't know.
Of course it is. I did think it was quite funny that that even his fellow guests on that show were basically calling him a dick, which probably says a lot. But yeah, it's so you're quite a week for us. Then obviously into the international break, which I think we'd all agree our players could probably be doing with. I think.
I'd said to you Sunday, I was, you know, look, obviously I was not on a bus on the way to Dundee, but, you know, not having to play that match, I wasn't all that upset about. And, you know, we're going to have to squeeze it in at some point now, but hopefully we can actually come back from the international break with more than 7 fit players.
Yeah. I had this discussion. Somebody said to me on our show, is it a good or a bad thing? And I said, well, it's just a thing, isn't it? There's no point.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, you wanted it to happen or you didn't want it to happen, or you think it's great or you think it don't, it did happen. So therefore, so there's no point. Let's look at it, right? Okay, well, we will have to play this game, but we don't have a fixture pile up because of Europe, unfortunately, but also probably not the worst thing either. And in terms of, as you say, we'll have more players back, a wee bit fitter. So it's like anything, it can be good or it'll be bad. If we win the game, nobody will care.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that was, you know, after Thursday, too. I mean, we were never going to score. There were just no options in the final third whatsoever. And, you know, it sucks losing that goal the way we did. I didn't quite understand the setup on the corners. Obviously, they saw something on the tape that led them to believe that would work. But doing it, you know, in a tied, you know, level tie 60 minutes in, I kind of thought maybe we would start leaving somebody back, but whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing that we got that far in Europe this season in the first place. I mean, our concern, like, a priority has to be, it's the league, because
it's
the automatic Champions League qualification. I mean, that's it. So being able to turn around and concentrate on that and hopefully, you know, winning the cup as well. Let's, go do that business.
You never want to go out. You never do.
No.
You wanted to go as far as you could. But this, I think for this squad to get that far, as you say, is a testament to, firstly, the manager. Because it's not a great squad. And then it's been further hampered through it this entire thing by injuries. And, you know, initially the squad that Beale had picked, which was, you know, no Ridvan, etc. So the manager had to work miracles to get us there. Then it wasn't like we got annihilated. And people say, oh, Benfica aren't very good. I think we maybe got a wee bit fooled by the first leg, you know, where they were coming off a terrible result performance. And they are a good side. They've got some really good players that, no offence, would walk into our team, lads. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was not. And I must admit, though, I didn't fancy, you know, when you saw some of the teams in the next round, because it's all right, laugh the joke. If we played Liverpool, we would get massacred. Let's be honest and realistic about it. We would not lose that narrowly. We would get absolutely... I mean, what did they do to Sparta over two legs? 11-2?
11-2. Klopp still wasn't very happy.
And he still got booked, yeah. But they got... Oh, he's in a bit of trouble because he called a reporter fat.
Yeah. Scandinavian reporter, too. I mean, come on, man. You can't be yelling at them.
Scandinavians can be fat, too, Shane. You know? all that pickled herring and whatnot.
Lutefisk all the time. Is that what they got?
Well, I've been to Copenhagen in Denmark, and they do have some lovely open sandwiches. So that might be. But yeah, Klopp in bad loser shock. Really, 9 years into his time in England, people are shocked at this. This is what he does. I remember when they lost to Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. And Madrid, right? How do Atletico Madrid play, Shane? What is their
main
style?
Same way they always do.
Correct. They defend, right? They get men behind
the
ball.
They kick the shit out of you,
and they kick dive and they cheat. And look, you know this going in. And after they lost, Klopp came out and he did, well, if they want to play like that, that's fine. We would never play like that, but if that's what they want to do, that's fine. And it's like, mate, right? You know. Wrap the passive aggressive stuff. You cannot get upset at a side for not letting you win. You know, and he's not the first.
The Simeone side set out to frustrate the ever loving hell out of you. I mean, come on.
And you know, Wenger was exactly the same. He would come out afterwards sometimes say, "Well, you know, we play football the right way," and it's like, guys, that's not... Advocat did it just to prove I'm not, you know, one eyed about. He would come out after teams would put 10 men behind a ball and go, "Well, if they want to play like that, you know, we play football," and it's like, yeah, you're not allowed, or you shouldn't come out and say, we're really good, and they wouldn't let us play our football and walk all over them and score eight.
we always saw that with the late Walter sides anytime, you know, any kind of result in Europe came through, so.
Yeah, you do what you can do to get a result. I mean, I personally wouldn't want to watch Atletico Madrid every week. I'll admit that, right? That style of football is not to my taste, but they've been quite successful at it.
I don't mind when you're winning. I mean, again, the late Walter sides weren't always beautiful, but guess what? Nope. We won trophies.
Correct. So, you know, you do what you need to do with the resources that you have available. But it was a classic, that game. Did you see it? Liverpool and Manchester United.
Oh, yeah.
It really
was fun. I threw that on because I ended up going to work once I knew we were called off. So I was like,
our boy Amad Diallo, formerly of this parish, he learned that from Scott Wright. Although he did that thing that I had been moaning about just a couple of weeks ago, which is footballers getting booked for taking off their shirt.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I'd forgot I'd already been booked. So he got sent off, obviously, right? And it's like, right, well, you admit I forgot I'd been booked. So you knew you would get booked for taking off your shirt, yet you did it anyway. There are loads of ways to celebrate that do not involve the automatic booking way. But if you wanted conclusive proof that footballers don't always think straight, then, hey, I've just scored the winner, right? Because there's no time. You know, it was a perfect time to get that goal. And then he gets sent off. So he couldn't celebrate on the pitch because you're not allowed on the pitch if you've been sent off.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
You know, you would want to be out there and, you know, anyway. But,
yeah.
No, all fun and games until someone loses an eye, as they say.
Yeah. Well, or if you're Crawford Allen, you lose your job, I guess. So that's.
head of referees is going to ride off into the sunset, I think.
Well, someone had to be scapegoated, so there's your guy.
Well, kind of, you know, that's the buck stops here. That is how it works. And maybe they've been better served, as we mentioned. You know, I'm not saying people should always listen to us, but if they did, the world would be a better place. But, you know, maybe if you'd come out and said, we have issues we need to deal with, and began to deal with them, people would have had a bit more respect. Whereas instead, Crawford Allen spent the year putting his fingers in his ear saying everything is fine when it patently wasn't fine. And then
I don't know
as a result.
You know, in his position though, you know, as we've discussed repeatedly, VAR doesn't matter if the officials are always terrible. I mean, how much pressure could he have possibly put on, you know, whether it's SFA or the SPFL in terms of we need funds and training and full-time match officials and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. You know, again, he's a symptom of a much bigger problem. You know, and it does going away isn't going to suddenly fix fucking Barr, right? It's still not going to work because there's still idiots running.
That's the problem. But I do think you get a wee bit more leeway if you're honest with people. I think if you come out and look, it's a tough job, and you know they're doing it under this microscope and loads of abuse, and you know, that creates pressure. So obviously it's get, but we accept we're getting too many decisions wrong, and we're going to work on it. Then I think you buy yourself at least some time. To, you know, people go fair enough. It's when you try to tell people politicians are murder for this. That if you try to tell people that what they've seen isn't just what they've seen, then people will automatically go, right, you have no credibility. I mean, I remember, believe it or not, an absolute master of this right up until his career-defining thing, which was obviously Iraq. Tony Blair was brilliant at coming out and just saying, yeah, we got that wrong, we apologise, and we're going to work to do better. Because you can't, there's no room then to criticise, is there? What are the opposition going to do? See, so you admit you get it wrong. Yeah, we got it wrong. Mistakes happen, we'll make sure it doesn't happen again. Right, again, there's nowhere to go, right? You totally flummoxed. It's the same for any listeners here. If you're having an argument with your partner, and there's actually quite a fun way to do it. It's the way I like to do with Sally. See if I realise in an argument that I am wrong, right? Because I'm not one of these people who's like, you know, these guys that just can't be wrong and have to double down. Yeah. I'm not like that, right? I'm wrong all the fucking time. Doesn't bother me. You know, fair enough. So, but what I like to do with Sally is, if I realise, you know, quite early in an argument, is that I will keep it going for a while, right? Until she gets really, really angry, and then go, you're right, actually. And then, because that winds it, she'll go, what do you mean I'm right? I've just been standing here for 10 minutes. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. I agree, actually.
I've taken some time to mull it over while we're talking here.
You are correct. But, you know, the fun part comes from building the anger up to a level where she can't even revel in her victory. so that's the... You keep, even if you realize you're wrong, just keep going, and then go, actually, you're right. And that's, you know, that way you can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat.
Yes. Live to fight another day. That's it.
Live to fight another day. Satisfaction guaranteed.
There was something that came, well, because what was it? Is it Brighton and Brentford? They're both kind of sniffing around Dundee United. Is that... as far as like a, you know, I don't know, the multiple ownership group things that seemingly every team is doing.
Now, there's a lot of Scottish teams are going to get,
hoovered up here, I think. Now, I mean, setting aside, because generally I don't like this, right? You know, like the guy that owns Palace owns like 18 clubs or something. You know, like I don't think it's good for football in general, but it's going to keep happening. And the thing, see what you think here. I think this is like the only potential way that you generate like a step forward in Scottish football is if you get ownership groups like this that are used to, you know, let's say competent setups, league setups in the door, you know, with actual money and clout instead of just, you know, all the Jack Fudd morons that we have running all the Diddy teams, that, you know, some of this kind of money and expertise comes in, that maybe things actually kind of get better around everything. I don't know.
Yeah, lol. Like that.
I'm trying here, David.
Yeah. Like that'll fucking happen. No danger. That's going to... The Scottish football was just... We're condemned to live in this. Actually, I got a question. I did a Q&A for our Heartland show this week, because obviously there was no game. And one of the questions was, what would be your SPFL team of the year? And I had to say, I don't watch
SPFL
games that don't involve Rangers, so I've got no idea.
It's Lawrence Shankland and probably 10 players I can name from our team.
I could tell you who's impressed me against us. But for all I know, that they're absolute rubbish out with that, and it's because it's fundamentally rubbish. I mean, there's no getting away from that. You know, these matches played in empty stadiums in front of you know, six men and a dog, and the dog's a bit bored actually, and has been promised a walk afterwards, so he's just wanting to go. You know, so it's a little bit too much. We're talking a lot about football, Shane. That's not why people come to this show.
I know, this is great. Well, you know, fuck it. We'll finish the first half of the first half of this week's growth. I got the end of the first quarter. There we go.
We'll go
to the American football.
We'll bring on the cheerleaders. Yeah.
Yes. Everybody get ready for the Crowpod dance team. So, God, we'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, welcome back to part two of the first half of this week's... I don't know, whatever. We're doing another show tomorrow if you miss it, the first half, because obviously, if you've noticed, there's not a Canadian here right now. So me and him will be back on Wednesday to do something. I don't know. I'll just get Todd to do 40 minutes. Just give him the microphone and get the hell out of the way. But of course, as always, go check out our friends. TheFamousHeadWear.co.uk, BlueRoomArt.co.uk, and our good buddy Mark Boyd at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy. He's Kilbride. He will rub you.
He will rub you
very well.
Yes. I'm going to London this week. We've got a live show in that London, and we've been kind of planning, you know, things to do when we're down there. So
go to your hotel and then...
Well, yeah, that's what I'm doing, obviously. I played along with it, you know, for a bit. I was like, we could do that. We could do that. You'll notice is not, let's do that, I will do that. It's just, we could do that. It's a factual statement. I'm not lying when I say that.
Another good argument tip from the Crowpod folks right there. Another very good argument tip.
Yeah, though. We could do that. Oh, never commit. Never commit. I will death before any sort of commitment. still the best tattoo I've ever seen in my life. There was an old guy in Scotland, obviously, but there was an old guy who lived near me when I was a kid. And he was your classic Scottish waster, you know, like Ramsey is, but a great believer in there are X amount of jobs. And there are X amount of people who want jobs. So the unemployed might as well be people like me who don't want a job and who want to sit about all day smoking and drinking and, you know, sitting in their garden and being thrown out by their wife. And he had a tattoo that said death before employment. Which you have to marvel at the honesty on show there. It's just magnificent, isn't it? Death before employment.
I that guy probably doesn't get off the scheme very often, I don't think.
No, I mean, he's dead now. He was a classic old... Growing up in a council estate in Scotland in the 80s, I'm sure a lot of the listeners did as well, and they'll all have known a guy like this, that you would hear him fighting with his wife and she'd hit him with some sort of implement. And he'd have to go and sleep out in the coal shelter. you know, and you'd walk by and you're like, all right, John. And he'd be like, all right, son, bitch has kicked me out again. That's harsh, mate. You know, you're 8 years old and heading to the park and getting exposed to this. And then I wonder why, you know, I grew up the way I did. It's kind of looking back, you know, you got exposed to a lot of the more realistic things. But funnily enough, I actually had an argument. Well, not an argument, a discussion. On an online thing, an online group. It was Simpsons group, actually, where they posted up a lot of British clips from The Simpsons. And, of course, the thing is about, you know, it's just taking the piss, so, you know, nobody gets upset. But I was like, you know, you guys in America that haven't been here genuinely do think we all walk about over here and go, oh, I Gav, apples and pears, you're right, you know, and have, you know, like cheery, basically cheery 19th century chimney sweeps. And I said, but I can't really talk because I must admit that I grew up thinking that all of America was like Ferris Bueller's house. and this guy brilliantly replied to me, yeah, we wish. So, yeah. I have since learned this, yes.
That is entirely what the west side of Rockford looks like, David. Yes, that's
there
it.
Are parts, absolutely. There are parts. Yeah. But, you know, every movie when we were growing up...
I don't
up,
live there. But...
which, you know, every movie when we were growing up, you know, think about it. We would get that and we would get... they all had Matthew Broderick in it, you know, like, War yeah. Games. Remember that?
Yep.
The War Games one, and you know, all the kids in American movies lived in these fucking massive houses. And something we never ever got our head around over here. You seem to go to school till you're about 23, right? And you love these fucking adults in cars at high school and stuff, and we're all like, what the fuck is going on there? You know, I think they drive into school or fall out with their dad because he won't buy them a new car, and you're sort of like, we'll buy you a fucking car? That's nonsense. You know, it was such a head melter to us, and it probably hasn't helped. You later find out, of course, all the actors playing the kids are all like 42.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the whole like Porky's and everything. Everybody in Greece.
Yeah, I mean, how they were like in their late 20s, early 30s, weren't they, in Greece?
That's generous, but yeah.
Yeah, just quite bizarre. So, sort of like, school was not like that. When we were there, but yeah, you do get a kind of false impression of a country. It's the same as France, actually. I noticed this. People think France is like Paris, right? That everyone's really ignorant and rude, and it's not. If you actually go to the rest of France, the people are perfectly nice. Yeah. Drunk usually, but perfectly nice.
I think the people in Paris are pissed off all the time just because that city's fucking filthy. I mean,
it's a dirty, dirty city. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be pissed off too, because I'm a clean person. I couldn't tolerate that.
You'd like Germany then? Germany, very neat.
Yeah.
Very neat and clean. The Germans.
Well, and on time, you know.
Yeah,
that's a nice thing.
they are very, you know, cleanliness standards over there are very high. I can't really talk because I was in Glasgow a couple of weeks ago and it is an absolute shithole now. Our listeners will know what I mean, but it just basically appears that managed decline is the watchword for it. But I'm trying to think. I mean, cities are a bit like... I remember going to Toronto and it's like a smaller, cleaner New York. Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah. Toronto's lovely. Yeah.
Toronto's a nice place. Or Toronto. There's only one T in it, I discovered.
As Todd said, there's barely one. So
there's only that. But all good. But yeah, so it does kind of cloud your weekend a wee bit not having a Rangers game. So hang everything round, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was... Well, and then, you know, because Tennessee got knocked out of the SEC tournament so early, so it was just like there's nothing... You know, like their spring training baseball or something. And I was like, what the fuck do I watch now? Like, this is dragging.
Well, that's the thing about international week here, because there's no football at all.
No.
So you're sort of looking around at other sports, and the summer sports haven't kicked in, obviously.
Well, the college basketball tournament starts tomorrow. So there you go.
If you guys need something.
NCAA basketball. Well, you know, and of course, good gambling opportunities there. If you want to piss money up a wall, plenty of chances to do so over the next 3 weeks.
If there are any British people who are gambling on NCAA basketball, then they have deeper issues, I think, than a lack of sporting stuff to watch. But I've been sort of, you know, going through the TCM library.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, hold on. Does that mean it's time? Is it time?
David's 90s film reviews.
Perfect. We're getting good at that now, but but when to just
give us like five more years to get this thing down eventually.
We'll get this absolutely nailed to the floor. I think this particular one,
David, I think this show's been well and truly screwed to the floor for fucking years, so there's nothing to worry about.
You might have a point there, but I watched a Tom Hanks movie at the weekend. Can you guess which one it is? It's from the 90s.
Let's see.
Not Saving Private Ryan. There you go.
Not Saving Private. Okay. Let's see. If it was on TCM, you're probably looking at like Philadelphia or Forrest Gump, probably.
Close. It was the 1998 remake, basically, of Sleepless in Seattle. You've got Mail.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. First of all, it takes you back to a simpler time when everyone had those fucking AOL discs that they gave away at the supermarket, remember? Logging on took 25 minutes of horrible fucking
if somebody noise. Got on the phone, it punted you back off.
That was the worst, wasn't it? I'm on the phone! God. I'm on the internet! Oh, yeah, God, right. But, yeah, I like movies, right, where clearly what they've done is work back the way, right? I like movies. You know, you get some movies where they have a script, and then someone goes and sells the script, and then they get the best actors available for it and the best director, and they make the movie. And then you get other movies which start from, you know, a lot of people like that Sleepless in Seattle thing.
Angel versus the Volcano. That wasn't bad either.
We'll get Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan and we'll do a romantic comedy. We're set. We don't need anything else. We don't need a script. We don't need a plot. We don't really need anything other than get these two together on a movie and people will watch it.
What should she do? I don't know. Give her like a fucking bookstore or something. Let's go. Whatever. We'll give her a
bookstore and we'll make him like a... Here's the thing. Tom Hanks can't play an evil corporate guy, right? He does not have an evil corporate guy face. Also, by now, even by then, now, right, in 98, he was Tom Hanks. You instinctively root for him. Doesn't matter what he's doing, right? I mean, they could get him to play Hitler, and you'd be hoping that the Germans won World War II. Okay? that is the problem with Tom Hanks. He's too believable. So then this film comes on, and, you know, I'm sitting watching it with Sally, and she's like, right, is this a romantic comedy then? Because Sally can't help but ask stupid questions at the start of films. You know, they're about to storm the beach in Saving Private Ryan. Is this a war film? Is it? Yeah, it's a war film. Yeah. did this happen? What, the invasion of... Yes, of course. Did this fucking happen? Right, so that's why I can't watch films with Sally normally. But I figured this one was stupid enough that it would be okay. And to her eternal credit, 10 minutes in, she went, Jesus, this is bollocks. How long do we have to go before they get together? And I was like, well, an hour and a half. Oh, it's not really worth it, is it? And I had to admit, but I had to stick with it for David 90's film reviews. And my God, this is trash. It's just absolutely awful. Where they clearly did think, right, magic struck when we got these two together. Missing the point, actually, but Sleepless in Seattle, that people forget this, they're only on screen together for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
In Sleepless in Seattle. They are not on screen together very often. That's the whole magic of it. And this, they just put them together right at the start and wait for the sparks to happen. It reminded me of a great line I heard about the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour, that they had this idea that they would get a bus, fill it with loads of weird characters, drive about and film what happened. The only problem was nothing did. And that's this movie. Absolute trash. But it shows you how quickly technology moves on. That, you know, the you've got mail and, you know, as you say, the dial-up and everything now seems a bit as archaic as hunting with spears for woolly mammoths. You know, it's only, and you're up came yahoo.com and you're like, yeah, fuck, remember that Yahoo, right, God. At one point he's on Ask Jeeves.
The thing I remembered most about You've Got Mail is that it's basically a 2-hour commercial for AOL and Starbucks. Yep. That's all that this movie is.
Yeah, and it made me go back to the kind of Ferris Bueller point. Again, there will be a generation of people who grew up thinking that's what America's like. It's all, you know, lovely bookstores and but it's amazing how little of that exists now, because, you know, Barnes & Noble, which is what he's the head of, really, right? Or board of.
Yeah, whatever.
Gone.
Yep.
The coffee shop where you go in and it sells books and CDs and coffee and any gone. AOL, gone.
Yep.
After the
Gene Stapleton, gone.
Yes. And Meg Ryan's career, gone.
Gone, yeah.
She did not come out of the 90s in any great shape whatsoever, did she? So
her husband's career kind of dived at the same time, too. I don't know what the fuck they did to each other, but it did not work.
I think it was a pact that they were like 90s icons, and then once it was done, it was done. As soon as the clock ticked over from 99 into 2000, they were like, right, we're done. It was like the Cinderella. It turned back to a pumpkin.
There's some other great characters. Well, because Greg Kinnear's in there doing his 90s role.
Of course
thing.
He is. Yes. Yes. Because, yes.
Yes.
You cannot have a 90s movie without Greg Kinnear in it.
No. He's got a shot. Well, and what's the old guy? Is it Dabney Coleman or whatever? The one old guy pops up and everything around that time?
I do like Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, no, he's good, but yeah.
He's good. He's all, and brilliantly, Dabney Coleman is a brilliant example of sexism. From the olden days, because he's the bad guy, you'll recall, in 9 to 5.
Yes.
Right? And the whole thing about 9 to 5 is that these women just can't get on and work because there's this evil man who's there to stop them. And who won an Oscar for it? He did. None of the rest of them got a fucking look in. Right, we're not giving one to the birds. We'll give one to the fella. Absolutely, you know, the Academy at its very finest there. But so this one, I'm afraid, has to get placed in the avoid list, not like classics such as Under Siege that we've mentioned. I am debating with myself about going for Under Siege 2, which may get a lesson.
Have a think about that, buddy.
next week, though, we're busting at the big. Next week, we're busting at big stuff. Next week will be the magnificent Starship Troopers. Casper Van Diem's unmoving face.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry now for You've Got Mail, and it actually goes so far like it lists influences. And it lists a 1937 Hungarian play.
A way to fuck.
Some other music. It's like,
no way.
No.
No fucking way. Nobody involved in this had seen a Hungarian play. Telling you that right now. What they had seen was Sleepless in Seattle and its box office takings. That's what they'd seen. And that was what inspired this entire movie. And honestly, you could absolutely just see it. Guys sitting. And this, you know, in Hollywood, they're like, let's get these two together. Fucking magic, right?
Yep.
Get the same director. How can this fail? There's the advertising campaign set up. Everything was done for it, except the actual movie itself, which is gash. But, yeah, rom-coms are generally rubbish. And I try to pick rubbish films for this. That's the whole point of it, right? But yeah, Sally's reaction was, so we basically need to wait for an hour and a half just to see if they fuck, which they inevitably will. And I was like, yeah, can't.
Well, yeah, no, you just get to see him kiss once and then it's all over.
Well, I'm not really. I don't know about you, mate, but I don't want to see Tom Hanks engaged in a hardcore scene.
That's about the only thing missing from his film CV at this point, I think.
Nobody wants Tom. We don't want to imagine Tom Hanks up to that sort of thing. That's not, you know. He's. Do you know he's an Aston Villa fan?
No, I did not.
Genuinely, yeah. He sometimes, whenever he's in the UK, he goes to games. Genuinely is, and I loves football, and for some reason, Aston Villa. And he's, yeah, go and look it up. There's loads of pictures of him at Villa Park. We need a celebrity fan. Like, we had Sean Connery in the 90s.
We need Mike Tyson back over.
The worrying thing, you could end up with like an old fanny like Rod Stewart. Nobody wants that.
Then, before you know it, you're playing friendlies at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Sure.
The Fighting Irish. Well, that's good because Chelsea don't have any fans who will travel and wave Union Jacks. Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting one.
That's too close to my house for them to be around, though. I don't like that.
No, you're gonna have them. You're gonna have, like, you know, the explosion of Irishness. But as I say, the opponents that picked then maybe weren't the most sensible.
Yeah, well, I wasn't too. I mean, like, Liverpool played there last time. I don't know why they didn't go for. I mean, that would have worked, I would think.
Yeah,
you know?
Liverpool, practically any other team, but other than Chelsea, with their infamous, side of their support. But they could do with a bit of a break anyway, Chelsea. They're not having the best of times of it at the moment.
Oh, boy. All right, fuck it. Let's grab some onion shit. We're going to get the hell out of here. Like I said, don't forget, me and Todd are coming back Wednesday. So I'm not shortchanging you on Cropod Entertainment this week. I'm just having the split time amongst the fine gentlemen that I do the show with. So it's like, you know, it's like I got to go to like two different Christmases this week. That's what's going on. You know.
Good right, Lord. I've got one. Onion headline. Because this one is so close to home for me. This has happened in my house, right? Nation's white women announce insatiable urge to have chickens in backyard. This has happened in my house, right? This has, Sally has said, I'd like to get chickens for the back garden. And I said, we are not the Clampets. We are not having chickens in the backyard. Secondly, firstly, no, for the reason above. And two, the dogs will fucking eat them, right? They are dogs. You can say to them, oh, they're your brothers and sisters, and they'll go, no, they're not, they're dinner.
Yeah, I had chickens at one point. Well, you know, I mean, I've had goats before, I had chickens, but I came home for lunch one day, and, you know, the chickens, they'd always get out of the
coop. That was all there was?
a fox, you know, a fox would try to get in, and then the chickens could get out or something. I came home and there was a rather substantial red-tailed hawk just standing on top of an ex-chicken, more like a pile of feathers at this point and a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And as I looked at it while it's pulling the chicken apart, it just stared like the fucking raptor when it kills Muldoon at the end of Jurassic Park. Like, oh, it's just staring at me while it continued eating.
These things don't fuck about with our human morality, guys, right? They are. But I really don't like chickens. I don't like their beaks and their pecking and the way they wander about and their stupid wee legs. So, no, I am not having chicken. But Sally, our sister, has chickens, right, in her backyard. So, no, I'm not up for that one.
Let's see. Remove Notre Dame scaffolding reveals construction crew accidentally built mosque. That one's good.
I thought you might like this one because anyone who's been to Vegas the last couple of years, and I know a lot of the listeners will have went for NASA a couple of years ago, so they'll know what this one. Why I'm saying this one. Bruno Mars reportedly in $50 million worth of debt with MGM Casino after assuming cocktails were complimentary. And for all our workers out there, woman tends to do best creative thinking when backed into corner with livelihood at stake.
I had a couple. You might be able to relate to this. I don't know. Parents really hitting it off with daughter's emotionally abusive boyfriend. Did like that. And
absolutely. That's the first thing you need to do. Make everyone else think you're lovely, otherwise you'll be seen through.
And we'll finish up. Dog feels like everyone looking at him differently since he swallowed chipmunk whole.
There we go. Yes. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I should point out that my dog Daisy, who is a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, right, caught a bird in the garden and let it go.
Oh.
And I was like, I know, that's just what she's like. She's not going to hurt it. I was like, if your brother had caught that, he'd have been going, hey, sandwich.
I've had different, because I had a couple dogs one time that cornered a groundhog, you know, in the backyard, and tore it in half because one got one end and one got the other. And then, of course, you know, and then I've had other dogs like Sage, who caught a very tiny baby bunny, you know, that like couldn't even hop. I thought she had a squeaky toy at first because she would just like gently bite it and then it would squeak. And then finally I was like, shit, that's a bunny. Didn't kill it. She just like making it squeak. That was it.
Yep. You better get a squeaky toy. It's less bloody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thankfully I saved the rabbit. So, let's see. David, of course, you're heading down to London for your guys' big show. Tickets all gone? Tickets gone? Everything's gone?
No, still some tickets left. Okay. So still some tickets left for it. I think you will be able to come on the night if you so wish to. Luckily, you know, we've sold enough to make it worth going ahead with.
Yeah.
Which, you know, otherwise it wouldn't be going ahead. But there will be, I think, a few left on the night. So if you want to come down and see us, it's the Leicester Square Theatre Thursday night, Heart and Hand live show with Paul Gascoigne as a special guest.
There you go. So, of course, everything you need for that, just go check out all the regular Heart and Hand stuff that you guys already know where it's at. Because, yeah, that's it. Oh, and, you know, just as an aside, even though the show's getting... I guess we're going to count these two as one show now. I did Rough Mass at the weekend, and I think... Again, David, I could be off by, like, 75 shows, to be honest with you. But I'm pretty sure that this show draws us level with Ally McCoy's on 355 for Rangers.
Yeah,
so
that's 400.
Yeah, I honestly, it could be over 400 already. I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably is. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, like I said, I'll be back Wednesday with Todd for the other rest of whatever this is, and that's
part
it.
Two. So,
part two of this week's big show. So, David, safe travels down there. Have fun, brother.
Thank you, mate. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
But you can't be fucking serious at all.